Wing TV, with Victor Thorne and Lisa Giuliani. The revolution is being televised.
Hello, it's Friday, November 11th, and you're watching Wing TV. I'm Lisa Giuliani.
And I'm Victor Thorne. Welcome to Wing TV. We want to start off today by first thanking Visigoth from his radio show, From the Grassy Knoll. We were on it last night, and he's also going to rebroadcast this show over the weekend. I think it's going to be on remnantradio.com at 11 o'clock tonight. And this was the most in-depth interview, I believe, that's ever taken place about Flight 93. Now, on our show yesterday, we touched upon
that. But we got into it at deeper length yesterday, and it was great having 9/11 researcher and activist Vincent Sammartino on the show with us, too.
Yeah, he phoned in and gave his perspective on the passenger lists and the Social Security Death Index and so forth. And if you're not listening to Visigoth every week, you're missing one of the best radio shows out there on the internet. This isn't a guy that's going to come out there and try to sell you something the whole show. He's not going to bark and rant and rave like a lunatic. What he's going to do instead is give you good, intellectual, thought-provoking radio with great guests. And you ought to be tuning in every single Friday night to
his show. 2 hours. 2 hours seems like a long time, but it blew by. It was such an engrossing time for us. So we hope that you will check it out and check out Visigoth's show on a regular basis.
Yeah, actually, we became so engrossed in this interview that it went about 2 hours and 20 minutes.
Yeah, we went overtime.
Because we just kept getting deeper and deeper into this subject. And as I said, Flight 93 is without a doubt the most neglected aspect of 9/11. And it's a testament to Viz that he brought this issue to the table and said, hey, let's spend a show talking about this. And actually, Lisa and I had to bone up on it a little bit, because when you spend so much time on the Pentagon and on the World Trade Center and so forth, 93 in Shanksville kind of gets pushed to the side. But as you can hear from that show last night,
it was front and center.
Yeah. Like Visigoth said, it's probably the biggest magician's trick out of the whole 9/11. And it was just a thoroughly excellent interview.
We can't forget that there's some monkey business going on with the Flight 93 story as well. So we need to shine a bright light on that and expose what's going on there, too, and try to sort it all out.
Exactly. Also, all of our orders that we received today, we're not going to be able to ship out until Monday.
Because of the holiday.
Yep, today is Veterans Day. And with that in mind, we'd like to extend our gratitude to all the veterans, not only past, present.
That's right.
And
we are proud of you, and we thank you for your service, and we just hope this war is over soon.
That's right. Now, the big news, and it rippled across our computers this morning, Stephen E. Jones, who is a professor at Brigham Young University.
Professor.
Yeah, physics and astronomy, recently came out with a 30-page report that says that the World Trade Center towers didn't come down the way the government said they did, but instead was
a controlled demolition.
Exactly.
Actually, calls it a prepositioned explosives demolition. Yep. And I tell you what, I'm so ecstatic about this report. This is a person, a voice of stature.
That's right.
Like Morgan Reynolds.
Yep.
Coming out and legitimizing the controlled demolition hypothesis.
Yeah. And whenever any kind of report like this comes out, you always hold your breath and you think, well, I wonder how this stacks up against what we've done, 9/11 on trial. Well, as Lisa said before the show today, it reiterates and also confirms every single aspect in that book, doesn't it?
Yes. He touches upon every source that we have. He also considers the official NIST, FEMA, and 9/11 Commission reports in his research. And he finds that they are definitely omitting valuable, viable data that's relevant to the collapses of the towers, and brings forth valid questions and raises serious points at issue with the official government conspiracy theory.
Right. And isn't he calling for an international study now?
He is calling to the scientific and engineering community. He wants an international independent panel of scientists and engineers to scrutinize thoroughly and investigate the government's story of the World Trade Center collapses. And he shows very clearly how the government's official version violates the laws of physics.
That's right.
Which are inviolable.
And he gave a pre-speech or a pre-delivery of this paper to his peers, I believe in the last month or so, or over the summer.
Right. I think all of them but one agreed immediately upon the conclusion of his speech. And then the next day, the one person who dissented agreed also.
Yeah, he was asking them, after his paper was done, if they thought the diss subject warranted more investigation. Every single person in attendance, his peers, raised their hand but one. And as Lisa said, that other one then, upon further thought, also concurred.
Right.
This is, along with Kevin Ryan,
uh-huh.
along with Morgan Reynolds, and now Stephen E. Jones, these are big guns. And we're going to get into this a little bit more on Monday. We're just going to touch the basis of
this
report.
Well, let's get into a little bit of it now.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
He started off with Building 7, and he asks the reader to observe the symmetry of the collapse, how it fell straight down rather than falling over.
Yep.
We touched upon that in our book, and so have many other 9/11 researchers. Yep. The speed of the collapses, how fast they fell. He and his students timed them at less than 6.6 seconds.
Yeah. And also, he says, if these were truly terrorists behind this attack that wanted to do as much damage to America as possible, he said, why would they very neatly and very cleanly
mm-hmm.
have these towers come down in their own footprint and do virtually no damage to the surrounding buildings? He said, wouldn't it be easier to tip them over and just destroy everything in their path throughout Manhattan, all 110
right.
stories of it? And he actually said it's easier to do a controlled demolition if you just tip the building
uh-huh.
rather than bring it down in its own footprint.
He asks us to observe the puffs of smoke and the rapid mm-hmm. timing of the squibs, which shows the sequential explosives detonating down, up and down the buildings. He talks about, let's see here.
Well, he goes into the time again, and I don't know if he actually did the time with the World Trade Center towers, but he did with WTC-7, and that's always the crux of whenever I explain this to someone.
Uh-huh.
I actually was speaking to two people today, two different people, that are attending a conference at Penn State about explosives. And they don't do controlled demolitions. What they do is explosives outside. So if they want to, like, you know, mm-hmm. start a highway or open up a mine or something. So they have big explosions. But I explained all of this to them, and they were like, they completely saw it. They knew what I was talking about. And when I bring the time into it, how if somebody is falling through a billion pounds of mass, which is how much the World Trade Center towers weighed, how could they hit the ground at the same time as something falling through air?
Right.
It's physically impossible.
Regarding Building 7, he says that a symmetrical collapse requires the pulling of most or all of the support columns. Now, 7 had 24 huge steel support columns, and it had approximately 57 perimeter columns.
Mm-hmm.
And so, essentially, he's showing how fires could not have brought down the buildings, nor could plane impacts. And he also gets into the temperatures of the steel.
Right.
He concurs with Kevin Ryan, the whistleblower from Underwriters Laboratories,
mm-hmm.
who said that the temperatures could not have possibly gotten hot enough or the fires burned long enough to melt that steel.
Right, and he also concurs with us that the jet fuel burned off within the first 1 to 2 minutes, and also...
He says within less than 10 minutes.
Yeah. Well, and another point, he says, I think, 1 or 2 minutes, where he quotes the NIST report or else the FEMA report. And then he also says that any of the material burning within the World Trade Center towers, that's the office products or the desks or whatever, would have burned out in about 20 minutes. And as we point out in our book, that the fires in the World Trade Center towers were so small and
uh-huh.
so limited that they didn't even reach to the other side
right.
of the same floor.
Remember,
that they were burning on.
Office products, paper, stuff like that, that's a hydrocarbon fire. It's going to burn out in 15 to 20 minutes, and then it's going to be consumed away. He also points out that the controlled demolition hypothesis has been ignored in every single
right.
one of the government reports.
And he quotes the 9/11 Whitewash Committee, the FEMA report isn't,
yeah,
and
he
also
says
the NIST report.
The 9/11 Commission didn't even bother to mention World Trade Center 7 collapse at all in their report.
In their report.
It's a striking omission.
Yeah, and I think FEMA was the one that said this merits more investigation, and then just leaves it as that. So it's like, well, we don't want to tell you the truth about how it happened, so we'll just forget about it. We'll just
he
drop
says,
it.
Such complete collapses as we all saw on September 11, 2001, have occurred many times throughout history, but they've occurred in the scenario of a controlled
yep.
demolition using pre-positioned explosives, not due to fire or plane impacts.
Yeah, and he also reiterates that never once in the history of the world has a steel building collapsed due to fire.
Right.
And he asks, he says, if we've now established that this was a controlled demolition, he said, do you think these supposed Arabs that the 19 pictures were shown on all of our television screens, he says, do you think they'd have the means, the access, the resources, or the technological know-how to do this? He says there's only a couple companies in the entire world that are able to do a controlled demolition. And these explosives guys today, I ran up by them, and they said, absolutely. They said, this is very difficult to do a controlled demolition. This is high expertise.
One interesting aspect of his report has to do with the citation of partly evaporated steel members of the towers. And he says thermite, RDX, or other commonly used explosives can readily slice through steel, thus cutting the support columns simultaneously in an explosive demolition and reach the required temperatures to partially evaporate the steel. Now, doesn't this make more sense than what the government's trying to hand you?
Right.
He says molten steel is consistent with the use of high-temperature thermite,
right,
a reaction of high-temperature thermite, and it can be used to cut or demolish steel.
Right, and if you take into consideration that there was thermite or some high-energy explosive, then that explains why all of the concrete that was used in all of the towers ended up, he calls it a flowery-like powder, where you would think that there'd be big chunks of concrete. Well, these buildings were so decimated by such a high power source that at some point it was, what, like inches thick on the ground. There were no chunks of concrete. It was all into a powder.
Yeah. Professor Jones says that a thermite reaction generates molten iron directly, and it's hot enough to melt and even evaporate steel when it contacts it while it's reacting. So without explosives, we have falling buildings that just don't generate enough sufficient direct energy to do something like that. So the government's conspiracy theory doesn't hold water.
Yeah. Also, what he does is bring forth quite a bit of first-hand witness testimony, the firemen,
right,
the news broadcasters, and so forth, that all of them talk about hearing explosives in the lower part of the building. Now, we all know that the planes hit up on the 78th floor and up, you know, towards the two-thirds or three-quarters up the towers. But all of these people talk about hearing explosives down in the basement or within the bottom few floors. And also, Lisa, he brings up the squibs.
Yes.
Which there's quite a bit of video of out there. But most people don't see it because none of the networks show the World Trade Center collapse anymore because they know now that people would be looking for this stuff.
Right. He says that the presence of squibs moving up the building is common when pre-positioned explosives are used, and this is observed with rapid timing between the explosive squibs that we see in the videos of 9/11. You can see it in controlled demolitions as well.
Now, one last thing he gets into is the junk science. Talk a little bit about
that. Well, wait. I want to get into one more thing.
Okay.
He does bring up a New York Times article that cites Building 7 as a secretive CIA site in New York that was destroyed on 9/11, and he finds that an intriguing component to the whole story, and so do I.
Well, a lot of people say that floor 23 of WTC-7 was the command center because it had such a great vantage point to see both of the towers. And there's articles out there, when you look at WTC-7, the biggest question is, why did they wait until 5:20 in the afternoon to bring these towers down? Well, some people are theorizing or conjecturing that WTC-7 was supposed to come down shortly after both of the World Trade Center towers. That way, in the chaos, in the maelstrom, with all of the dust and the powder, it would just come down. But for some reason, the explosives weren't wired correctly, so what the controllers had to do is scramble, go back in there, rewire it, or fix what the problems were, and finally, by 5:20 in the afternoon, they just had to bring it down. And this is such a glaring mistake in their operation, because at that point it was either leave the building stand, then people go up to the 23rd floor, and they find out all the incriminating evidence, or they just, out of the blue, bring it down at 520, and most people still don't even know about WTC-7.
Professor Jones says, excuse me, that the Twin Towers appear to have been exploded top down,
right,
which is unusual, and Building 7 from the bottom up, which is the more commonplace way to do it. And he says it's conceivable that they, you know, they would do it that way. It just depends on which order you set off the explosives
when you detonate them. Right, and with Tower 1 and 2, they would want it to go top down because the planes
hit
near the top.
Exactly. He says the explosive demolition hypothesis better satisfies tests of repeatability and parsimony than the government's official conspiracy theory. So therefore, the controlled demolition hypothesis is not junk science.
Right, and even brings up the antenna.
Right.
Remember that part where, and we bring that up, where it starts to tip, and it goes down into the center, and it's falling before anything else.
The TV antenna began to drop a fraction of a second before the building, the rest of the building started to fall.
Right.
And, you know, it's fantastic the detail that this man went into, and he and his students actually did experiments. They made models and so forth.
Yeah, and you know, I was thinking as I was reading this interview, or this report, was that now with Professor Jones, with Morgan Reynolds, with David Ray Griffin, with Jim Mars,
mm-hmm.
with Eric Hufschmidt, with Dave McGowan, with 9/11 on trial, we have this case solved, and we have now credible, heavy guns that have a lot
this
of...
This is... Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, it's this. These are credible people now. These aren't just quote-unquote conspiracy theorists.
Mm-hmm.
These are people from academia and also from the Bush cabinet that are coming out and talking about the controlled demolition. We have to do something very soon to get this information
right.
out.
He is calling for an independent international investigative panel. He's calling for questioning under oath of officials who approved the rapid removal and destruction of the World Trade Center steel beams and columns before they could be properly analyzed. He is calling for no government study provides serious analysis of the controlled demolition hypothesis at all. He says he wants NIST to release 6,899 photos and over 300 hours of video recordings it admits to holding.
Yeah.
And he says particularly photos and analyses of molten metal, which he doesn't think is probably molten steel, molten metal, observed in the basements of both towers and World Trade Center 7. He wants it brought forth to the international community of scientists and engineers immediately. And he also calls for the release of this and all relevant data for scrutiny by a cross-disciplinary international team of researchers. He says, the hypothesis for explosive demolition will be considered and all options are on the table.
And he even wants to question the president of Controlled
Absolutely.
Demolition Incorporated, who plays a pivotal role in this, because not only were they the ones who hastily removed everything from the World Trade Center site, but also Oklahoma City. So they play a part in all this. And
now let's get into the junk science.
Okay, real quick, we got like
quickly. He says that he does not endorse the pod theory because he says it is a reflection. The pod is just a reflection of a bulged undercarriage. He says he finds that the pod theory is very weak and distracts from central issues.
Yep.
He also addresses the conspiracy theory hypotheses that were presented and addressed by Popular Mechanics.
Right.
And he says this, those espousing weak or unsteady claims should realize that they may be damaging the effort to achieve a rational debate of important issues by poisoning the process with junk science. He says the controlled demolition hypothesis is not junk science.
That's right. And, you know, I've always been torn because we carry Dave Von Kleist's 9/11 in plain sight. And the only reason I carry it isn't because of the bogus pod material. It's because of the information that's contained in it about the Pentagon. If he would have just did the entire video about the Pentagon and scrapped all this pod nonsense that Commander Pod Phil Jahan came up with, it would be so much more of a respectable video, in my opinion.
Absolutely. And I hope that other scholars and scientists and engineers will now step up to the plate and agree with Professor Jones that there needs to be a serious investigation and scrutiny of the government's official conspiracy theory regarding 9/11. Professor Jones ends his research paper by saying, "Scientific inquiry is not or should not be dictated by politics."
That's
and we
right.
heartily concur with that.
Yeah. Now, we spent this entire show, or most of it, talking about Flight 93, the World Trade Center controlled demolition. We spent 2 hours and 20 minutes last night talking about Flight 93 and the bogus act that went on in Shanksville. Last night on Jeff Rentz, he had a guest on, we won't even mention names, he had a guest on that stood up for the government's official version of events. Look at the difference between what we're doing and what they're
doing
over there.
From what we're told, he didn't disagree with it or didn't challenge it in any way.
Yeah.
It was pretty lame.
Unbelievable.
What we would like you to do is check out this report by Professor Stephen Jones.
Right, the link is right on the Wing TV homepage.
Send it everywhere.
Right.
We need to do with this what we've done with the controlled demolition information we've been sending out all along and with all the other 9/11 information. We need to hit everywhere we can with this information and help expose it. We're going to try and get Professor Jones on Wing TV to talk about this a little bit more.
We've been hitting on the controlled demolition more than any site, any show in the entire alternative media, and it's great confirmation when a respected man like this comes out and confirms everything that we've said. It's all right here, folks. 9/11 on trial. If you want to solve the case, that's where it is. And it still boggles my mind how many sites out there absolutely refuse to let their listeners and viewers know about the controlled demolition.
Right. What we've been saying all along is don't distract yourself with peripheral issues and things that aren't the crux issue. The crux issue is the controlled demolition, and we can disprove the government's lies on that scenario.
And we have done it.
And it's been done.
Right.
So now we have to just hammer it home.
That's right. Now, we'll be back again on Monday. We'll talk more about this. I don't even know what the weekend entails. But we'll see you again on Monday. Until then, keep your eyes open because there is a lot going on.
See you then.